Well, believe it or not, today kicks off the beginning of the Advent season that leads us up to Christmas. Now, that word, Advent, it actually means coming or arrival. And so the focus of the Advent season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus and His first coming or His first arrival here on earth. Now, it's also the anticipation of the return of Christ, His second coming, the soon and coming King, something we believe as a Foursquare church, that Jesus is our soon and coming King, that there will be a day where He comes again. And so, in both the celebration and anticipation of His coming, each week we light one of these Advent candles up here this morning. Now, there are five different candles. The first candle represents hope. The second candle represents peace. The third candle, joy. The fourth candle, love. And then the final candle here in the center is the Christ candle. Because He's the one who brings us hope, who brings us peace, joy, and love. Now, if you've been with us during the Christmas season before, you may remember the lighting of these Advent candles. Now, normally in the past, we would light them at the beginning of the service. Maybe after the first song, we would usually bring somebody up here to light the candle, and then maybe even allow them to share what that specific attribute, whether it was hope or peace or joy, meant to them. That's how we normally do things. But this year, we're doing things a little different. This year, leading up to Christmas, I'm actually going to be doing a series on Advent, titled Advent, A Season of Anticipation. And so each week, as we light the candles, we'll take a look at these attributes on a deeper level. And so today, we're going to light the first candle, the candle of hope. And so we're going to light that this morning here, if I can get the lighter to work. Here we go. The hope candle. And now to talk about hope today, I want to go back about 700 years before the coming of Jesus, before His first arrival on earth. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be jumping around a little bit, the book of Isaiah. I want to start off, though, by reading a short verse found in Isaiah 60, verse 2. If you have your Bibles, you can look. If not, we'll put it up on the screen. But it simply says this. It says, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you." Isaiah was writing this in a time of deep darkness. But his words here bring hope. And little did people know or understand what that hope would actually look like. The book of Isaiah, it's an amazing book. It's filled with prophecy that tells of the coming of Jesus some 700 years before it ever happened. It's a powerful book, and probably the greatest proof of its power is the reality of how often the book of Isaiah was quoted by Jesus Himself. Time and time again throughout the Gospels, Jesus was found quoting Scripture from the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah himself was a great prophet who ministered for over 50 years during the reign of four different kings. And during that time, as I shared earlier, he saw a lot of darkness and sin throughout the world. But even in the midst of the darkness, Isaiah brings hope. Now, his name alone brings hope. Isaiah's name means Jehovah saves. And Jehovah means God. So his name means God saves. So whenever someone called his name, he was reminded of this hope. This hope that his God, his Jehovah, saves. And Isaiah brought that hope to the people of Israel. In the midst of a culture that was dark and corrupt, he dared to believe that something better was coming. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 64:1. He says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." He was longing for the Lord to somehow come down into his world to make sense out of all the nonsense, to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring peace to all the problems, to dispel the darkness and allow his light to be revealed. Now, aren't you glad that even though we still experience the darkness of a fallen world, we can find hope in knowing that God does save. We can find hope in knowing that these prophecies that Isaiah talked about were fulfilled. This morning, I want to take a look at a few different passages in Isaiah that I think will help us understand why we can experience hope through the story of Christmas. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Isaiah 7. At the beginning of chapter 7, there's this evil king named Ahaz that's on the throne. This is one of the four kings that served during Isaiah's years of ministry. Now, Ahaz had deliberately disobeyed God. And as a result, his kingdom had come under attack from all directions. This is what we talked about last week with Gideon. We talked about in the book of Judges this cycle of people, you know, God delivering people. Yeah, it's great, but then they would become spiritually complacent, and then they would sin and fall away from the Lord, and so then the Lord would kind of just step back and say, "Fine, you want to serve other gods? Here, go for it." And then pain and hurt and destruction would come. And so they're at one of these times where Ahaz and the people of Israel have come under attack. And so let's read what it says here in verse 2 of chapter 7. It says, "So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind." And here's the thing. If we're walking in disobedience, when trouble comes, we too are going to be shaken. And the only one that will be able to help us is the Lord, because He is our foundation. But here's the thing, instead of turning to the Lord, Ahaz begins to think about partnering with the evil empire of Assyria. And so God, in His great love and mercy toward the house of David, He took the initiative and He sent Isaiah the prophet to King Ahaz to help give him guidance, to push him back in the right direction. And so we're going to read this morning verses 9 through 14. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. It says this, "The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." And Isaiah is basically telling Ahaz, the only way you will survive is by putting your faith in the Lord. He is your foundation. So continuing in verse 10, it says, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test.'" Now, I'm going to stop there again for a minute, because here's the thing. If God is telling you to ask Him, then you're not testing God. He's telling you to ask Him. So by not asking Him, Ahaz was being disobedient. But thankfully for Ahaz, God is gracious and patient with him as he is with many of us as well. So again, picking up in verse 13, it says, "Then Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign.'" He's basically saying, okay, if you're not going to ask for a sign, here, I am going to give you a sign. And here's the sign. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now, the first thing I want to point out this morning, and the first reason I believe that we can experience hope in this time of Christmas, or through the story of Christmas, really, any time, is because he has given us a sign. Verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." Now, this is huge. Because how many of us love it when God gives us a sign? Don't we love it when God gives us a sign? In our prayer meeting a few weeks ago, we were talking about this. In response to a conversation about hearing God and wanting to make sure we're doing the right thing, one of the people in the prayer meeting said, "Don't you just wish that God would give you that flashing neon sign that said, 'Go here,' or 'Do this'?" We love it when God gives us a sign. And the thing is, God may not flash a neon sign, but he does give us signs. And when he does, it's awesome because we know, yes, this is what we're supposed to do. It makes it clear. We can understand. I had this happen before we came to pastor here in Dallas. My wife and I, we met with the divisional superintendent. We weren't sure. We came out here to Dallas. We weren't sure what God was doing. We weren't sure if this is where he was calling us. There was a church here in this building at the time that was kind of dwindling. And so we kind of came and we came out here. We met the pastor that was here. We talked with her for a little bit. We realized, you know, would we come here and take over the church? Would be one church, two churches, you know, all sorts of questions going on. And we went back with the superintendent after we left here, and we're just kind of talking with him. And I said, "So, are we going to know if it's going to be one church or two churches before we decide, or do we just have to decide what's going on?" And he said, "You know, really, you just have to decide. Is God calling you to Dallas? And you probably need to make that decision first, and then we go from there." And in that conversation, I just said something to him. I said, "Man, don't you just wish God would just give you a sign, you know, just right there in front of you?" And we were sitting in the car at this time, and I just kind of point out in front of the car, saying, "I wish God would just give me a sign." Well, we wrapped up conversations there. My wife and I, we left, and we went into Salem, and we were having lunch and just kind of processing and talking about it, and before we headed back home, and we were coming out of an area. There were some restaurants there, and kind of like a mini mall area, and we're pulling out, and we stop at a stop sign within that parking area, and all of a sudden this big bus goes driving in front of us, and here we are in Salem, and this bus on the side of it said Dallas, right in front of me. And at that moment, I heard the Lord say, "You wanted a sign?" And I knew in my heart at that moment, and I didn't say anything to Stacy because I knew she still was wrestling and trying to figure out, and I wanted us both to hear God, and I didn't want to be God for her, and so I didn't say anything, but at that moment, I was like, "Yes, that's my sign. Thank you, Lord." Now, the funny thing is, within the next month or so, there was a lot of weird things going on and building-wise and like, what? Are we supposed to go to Dallas? And there was a lot of confusion that was happening. And in that time, I kind of stepped back and I was like, I don't know. I thought we were supposed to, but maybe not. And so I had taken some time to just go be with the Lord and just pray and seek him. And in that time, he just said, "Darren, you know, I've called you to Dallas." And he reminded me of that bus. He reminded me of that sign that he gave me. You see, it's awesome when God gives us a sign to point us in the right direction. And here's the thing, the fulfillment of this prophecy was a sign for us so that we could know that Jesus truly was the Son of God. Now, there are a couple things that I think are important for us to notice about this sign that the Lord gave to us. And the first thing is this. We have to realize that it was given to all of us, to everybody. The word "you" in this passage is plural, which indicates that it wasn't just a sign for King Ahaz, but to everyone, and especially because the sign didn't come for almost 700 years, so it obviously wasn't just for Ahaz. It was a sign that was for everybody, and the angel made this clear to us in Luke 2:10 when it said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? For all people." This sign that Isaiah is talking about brings hope to all mankind. It gives hope to anyone who is willing to call on the Lord. He's that foundation that will keep us from shaking. Now, another thing I think is important to understand about this sign is that this sign was miraculous. It was a miracle. Think about it. He was born to a virgin. Now, I'm assuming most of us in this room have had the talk about the birds and the bees. And if you're not, if you haven't and you're too young, just wait and ask your parents to tell you later. Don't go ask them today because then I'll be in trouble. But I think most of us know what that means. If we understand reproduction at all, I think it's pretty safe to say that for a virgin to become pregnant is a miracle. Now, there may have been some young women who have tried to claim that miracle, but we know it's not true, right? We know how it happens. That this story of the Virgin Mary giving birth was a miracle, and it happened as a sign to bring hope to each of us, which leads me to the last thing that I think is important for us to understand about this sign, and that is that this sign brought God to us. It says there, He will be called Emmanuel, which means what? It means God with us. This is huge. No longer was God out there. No longer was He distant or silent. Did you know that up until this time, the time of Jesus' coming, God had been silent for somewhere around 400 years? That's a long time. But this sign brought us the hope of a God with us. And from that day forward, God would be present among His people, if not as Jesus Himself on this earth, as the Holy Spirit who is alive and in us. These things happen to serve as a sign to each of us. And because of these things, because of the fulfillment of these prophecies, we are able to experience the hope of Jesus Christ. The hope in knowing that He came some 2,000 years ago, and the hope that He will someday return to take us home. Christmas is about hope. The next passage I want to look at in Isaiah that will help us understand how we experience hope is found in Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 9. If you have your Bibles, you can flip there. This is what it says. It says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire." Verse 6, the important part. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." This passage is another powerful scripture that gives prophecy of what was to come. And the main scripture I want to focus on this morning in here is verse 6. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given." It is this verse that I believe points out another reason we can experience hope through the story of Christmas. And that is, number 2, He has given us His Son. Now, why is that important? I think it's important because His Son is Jesus. His Son is light. It says in verse 2 that the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. We have to remember that Isaiah is sharing this prophecy in very dark times. And it wasn't any different 700 years later when Jesus was entering the world. These were dark times. Listen to what it says in Matthew 2:18. "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." You see, while the angels were proclaiming peace on earth, Herod was killing numbers of children, right? He found out that this king was born and he's trying to wipe him out. While Mary was overcome by the joy and blessing of this new baby boy, other mothers were weeping and mourning for the loss of their children. The world was and is still full of darkness today. Look at the news around us. But Jesus brought light into the world. And His light gives us hope in the midst of the darkness around us. One of my favorite times during the Christmas season is our family Christmas service. We talked about that earlier in our announcements. If you've ever got to be a part of one of our services, then you know that we conclude that time by the lighting of candles. We each have candles and we light them and pass them on to one another. And it's a representation of the light of Jesus that was brought into this world and us passing that light on to one another. John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For unto us a child has been born, for unto us the Son has been given." This light of the world He has given to us. He's given to all of us His Son, this light that brings hope to our lives, that brings light into the dark places that have burdened us and brought us down. We have to allow His Son to be our light, to be our hope in this dark and fallen world. He has given us a sign. He has given us His Son. And for the final thing I want to look at that He's given us this morning, when it comes to hope, is found in Isaiah 53. This chapter prophesies of the death of Jesus. Not only does Isaiah talk about the birth of Jesus, he also prophesies about His death. And I want to read to you verses 5 and 6 this morning. It says, "But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him." The third thing I want to share with you this morning is we find hope in knowing that He has given us a Savior. He's given us a Savior. I think a lot of times we get so caught up in the cute little Christmas story, you know, with the nativity. and cute little baby Jesus. We get caught up in that side of Christmas that we forget what His birth was really about. We forget why it was that He was born to a virgin. He was born to a virgin because we needed a spotless lamb to be the sacrifice. We forget why it was that He was sent down here to begin with. The fact that He came to die and to give life to all who believed. His purpose is stated from the very beginning. Listen to what it says in Matthew 1:21. It says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give Him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins." Now, when Joseph heard those words, "Save His people from their sin," I'm pretty sure he had no idea what that would look like. I'm sure he didn't picture Him saving them from their sins by dying on a cross. But that's what He did. He was sent to die and bring hope to all mankind. The hope of a Savior. The hope of eternal life. The question is, how many of us are experiencing that hope? As we head into this season of Christmas, what are we thinking about? What are we focusing on this Christmas? Is it what new and exciting gadget we want for Christmas? Is it figuring out how we're going to have the coolest, brightest, most awesome house on the block? Now, I know that used to be me. And when my wife and I, we first got married, man, I went crazy. I was talking to Joshua about it earlier today, how we had, our house was literally candy striped, red and white, and I had lights everywhere, and if the neighbor put up more lights, I would put up more lights. I was crazy about that. Is that what we're focusing on, or is it figuring out how we can make everybody happy and get them the gifts they want, but not go in debt this year? Are those the things we're focusing on, or are we focusing on the true reason for the season? The celebration of the birth of Jesus and His coming. Understanding the hope that Christmas has brought to each of us and celebrating that. Now please, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being excited about gifts. And I know I'm as guilty as any of us in this area. I like gifts. There's nothing wrong with being excited about gifts. There's nothing wrong with having fun decorating your house. There's nothing wrong with many of the things that have become traditions at Christmas time. As long as we don't let those things become what Christmas is to us. Because that's not what Christmas is. Now, growing up, my church, we never celebrated the season of Advent. We never lit the Advent candles. It wasn't something that we started doing until we moved to Newburg and became a part of the church in Newburg. As a matter of fact, I was an interim pastor for 3 months when we were transitioning from pastors. I kind of had stepped into that role, and it fell during Christmas time. And I remember after Thanksgiving, the question came up about Advent. And I was like, oh, crud. I don't even know what to do. I had to get on the internet and look at what Advent was and what the season of Advent was. And so I didn't grow up with this tradition, but I've come to love this tradition, the lighting of the Advent candles and this time that we take in the services, because it reminds us what Christmas is about. It's about hope. It's about peace. It's about joy. It's about love. And most importantly, it's about Christ. He's the one that gives us the hope, the peace, the joy, the love. He's the one that we celebrate. And so, I encourage you this morning, as we enter into this season of Christmas, to make sure that you have your focus right. And that you're focusing more than anything on celebrating Him. Celebrating His coming. The fact that He came, the fact that He will come. that this year you allow it to be one of your best Christmases yet, because you seek out the true meaning of Christmas, experiencing Jesus on every level. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your hand upon our lives, your love for us. We thank you for the fact that, Lord, you gave us a sign. You spoke hope through Isaiah some thousands of years ago, Lord. And that we saw those prophecies and things that he spoke come to pass. That you did come to this earth as a sign. That you did send your Son. That you did become our Savior. We can find hope in knowing these things. And I pray that as we enter in this time of Christmas, that we will walk in that hope. This time of Christmas is a difficult time for many people. They're challenged in many different ways. And I just pray, Lord, that through this time, you would give strength to each of us. That through this time, our focus would be upon the true meaning of Christmas. Who you are and what you've done for us. And the life that you have for us to live as we walk in and through you, Lord. And so we pray, Lord, fill us with hope this Christmas. Fill us with peace, with joy, with love. Fill us with more of you, that we may walk in the power of your Spirit in and through our lives, Lord. We thank you for these things. We just give them to you and pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.